This is the Backup Quarterback Show with your hosts, Derek Anderson and Matt Howard.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Backup Quarterback Show, the only show that would rather win the SEC tournament. The only show that would rather lose the SEC championship than pay for our players. Is that right?
I guess.
That's it. My name's Matt Howard. Welcome back to the Backup Quarterback Show. I'm joined, as always, with the original Backup Quarterback Show, Derek Anderson. Derek, go ahead and say hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I bet they're feeling pretty good after that fire intro we just spit out there. So, Derek, as you know, here we have a lot of episodes of this show over the past year. We're very consistent on uploading. We're always ready to talk about the hot sports news in the world. But it's March Madness. It's March Madness.
It is. And, you know, being a football-based, somewhat branch out to hockey and basketball every now and then podcast, we're going to want to talk about the NCAA tournament bracket that just dropped yesterday.
And I think you make a good point. I would rather talk about hockey. I'd rather, here's how I'm at in this. I'd rather the Preds beat the Maple Leafs tomorrow in a regular season game than the Tennessee Volunteers winning the national championship. That's just how I feel about it. But yeah, so thank you for bringing up the Preds. Preds are actually starting to play well again. Just had a California road trip. Didn't start so hot, but the offense has really started to turn around. Our forecheck is looking a lot better. So that's what I'm feeling good about. Hopefully the goaltending can stay solid, no matter if we're playing with Pekka or UC in net. Let's just hope that we can continue this momentum we've just started to develop into the playoffs. And hopefully we can make the playoffs, first of all, and then win a couple of games when we get there. So yeah, thank you for talking about hockey. Let's talk about more hockey for the next 25 minutes.
But speaking of West road trips, I think first we're going to want to dive into the West region, which I think we can all agree is the weakest division of them all.
I would agree so. I think a big issue with the West is Fresno State didn't make the tournament this year, which is a tough look for not only the Backup Quarterback Show, but really the whole country. A prestigious school like Fresno State, the Bulldogs, I believe, couldn't make the most prestigious tournament in all of the world. So yeah, go ahead and dive into the West region. What have you been looking at?
Well, the top seeds in the West region are Gonzaga at the 1, Michigan at the 2, Texas Tech at the 3, and Florida State at the 4.
Can I just chime in for 1 second? At the beginning of the show, I was making that joke about not paying for players. That was an LSU Will Wade joke.
Of course.
Just so everyone's on the same page. We were making fun of LSU for paying for Javonte Smart and probably the rest of the team, giving them money to play basketball in college. That was the joke to start the show. So go and dive back into the podcast.
Well, looking at this region, it's pretty evident that Gonzaga was definitely the fourth number one seed of all the teams. And Michigan was the fourth number two seed of all the teams. So it's interesting that they would pair them in the same region. It just shows you how weak their region is altogether.
In my opinion, that is interesting.
Thank you, Matt.
Of course. So let's just look at some of the big matchups. One that caught my eye right away is this Gonzaga FDU? Is that Fort Dominion?
Prairie View, yeah.
Okay, so Prairie View or FDU is who we're looking at. That could be an interesting game. The 16 seeds statistically have never been hotter coming off this last tournament, and I don't see any reason why we can't see another one this year. What's a matchup you're looking at early on in this tournament?
In the West region, I'm definitely looking at Marquette versus Murray State. You got two of the best players in the country in Ja Morant and Marcus Howard.
Marcus Howard
playing in that game. And
not related.
Not related to Matt Howard, but I think Marcus Howard's a great player and he definitely can score the basketball well, as Konzo Martin would say.
That in my experience with basketball, I have analyzed basketball for a long time. I have noticed that when you score more, it does help your team.
Yes, it does. But the sixth seed in the region is Buffalo, and I've seen a lot of ESPN analysts picking Buffalo to go as far as the Elite Four. Final Four, excuse me, in this region, but I just don't see it happening. I just don't.
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
I bet they have like a funny mascot. Is it, was it like Buffalo like Bison or something?
I think they're the Bulls, if I had to guess.
Interesting. Because Buffalo itself is an animal. And bulls are bulls are animals. So it'd be, it's kind of interesting that they would have two animals for their whole...
Yeah, why aren't they the Buffalo their whole Buffaloes? Team.
The Buffalo Buffaloes would make more sense. But yeah, I don't know anything about Buffalo. I know everyone kind of calls him Buffalo now, which is kind of fun. So with that being said, I'll take him to win one game maybe. Maybe two or three. Maybe make the Final Four. I don't know. That's the beauty of March Madness.
Yeah, you get to pick your bracket for your enjoyment.
Yeah, and everyone has a lot of fun when their bracket messes up, because it's all about having fun watching the tournament.
Especially when the team you picked to win it all loses on the first day of the entire tournament.
Let's just go back to that day. Me and Derek are sitting in Hilton Head.
I think it's 3 years ago to the day.
Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, spring break, 2016. We're just sitting watching first round basketball. You don't expect any upsets in the first round because it's all the good teams against all the bad teams. So there's no upsets there, which is fun. So it's like fun, relaxing. Nothing really crazy happens. Then all out of a sudden, Middle Tennessee State University
started hitting some threes
and twos. They also scored twos in that game, which is the crazy part. And ones. They had all three. So that was insane. They were scoring more points than Michigan. But the crazy Michigan thing State. Is that Michigan State. The crazy thing is Michigan State went down 2-0 in that game. I don't think they ever had the lead.
I don't think they did either.
I remember saying exactly Middle Tennessee hit a two or three to start the game, and I go, that lead is insurmountable. And that joke carried through the whole game. So I think that was embarrassing. That was your national champion losing to Middle Tennessee State University.
It was. It showed you how vulnerable some of these teams can be at times. And if we think about even last year, a lot of people picked Virginia to win it all last year, and they lost as the first one seed ever to lose to a 16 seed.
No, here's where I was with that. I had them losing in the second round, so I felt like a genius.
That was very smart of you, Matt.
Thank you. I got eighth place in the bracket challenge last year in our little group pool. So I wouldn't say it was my best year ever, but I had that one pretty close, which was cool.
Yeah, that's great, Matt.
Thank you. Yeah, my dad was really happy with me. He was really proud of me when I told him about that. Who are some teams you're looking at in the West? Just overall, who are some scary teams for you?
Well, I like Texas Tech. Because they have Culver. I think he's going to be a top 10 draft pick in the NBA. And he's a great shooting guard. Reminds me a lot of Dwayne Wade. And another team I like to look out for in the West is Florida, actually. It pains me as a Tennessee fan to say it, but I think Florida was heavily... I think they were underseeded in the tournament, but they've lost enough games that it's
justifiable.
It's justifiable. But I definitely, this Nevada-Florida game, it's a toss-up, and I could definitely see the winner of that game beating Michigan this year.
The West is weird for me, because there's been some teams kind of come out of nowhere, like the Calgary Flames. Calgary Flames have traditionally not been great the last few years. Johnny Gaudreau has been playing well this season, as he always does. He's a great player. But just they've really put together a good team out there, West. And so that's the team that I'm looking forward to in the playoffs to see where they're at, see what they can actually do.
Yeah, I'm looking at the San Jose Sharks, and I want to see if what happened the other night between the Preds and the Sharks was an actual representation of who the Sharks are as a team, or if they're actually the first place team that they've been for the majority of the season.
That's interesting. But let's look to where. What do you want to look next in this bracket?
Let's look at the Midwest, which is arguably the most stacked region of all.
Midwest includes states such as Iowa, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Kansas, maybe Indiana, you could say, is Midwest. Illinois. Is Ohio Midwest?
Yeah.
Ohio's Midwest?
Technically, it is.
So, yeah, states like that, but in the United States of America. In the bracket, for some reason, North Carolina is actually the one seed in the Midwest. Geographically, doesn't make much sense to me because they're definitely, I would say, east. You can't get much more east than the East Coast. So that's interesting to me that they would name it Midwest.
Yes, but it seems that three ACC teams are one seeds this year.
I would agree with you on that.
So the fact that most of those teams are on the East Coast or the eastern part of the U.S., they can't put them all in the East region because they have to get their money's worth and spread them out as the number one seeds.
Thank you for letting me in on that little secret. That's a secret of the trade that most people don't understand. Let's look at that bracket. Who's in there? Georgia State. Georgia State had that one guy a few years ago who was really fun.
I think it's their coach you were thinking about.
He fell out of the chair. Yeah, he fell out of his chair.
I think they beat Baylor on a last second shot or something.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Baylor always loses.
Yeah, I'm guaranteed lock. Syracuse beats Baylor in the 8-9 matchup.
Guaranteed
in the
lock.
West.
Guaranteed lock. Right here, you heard it first on the Backup Quarterback Show with Matt Howard and the original Backup Quarterback Derek Anderson.
Well, anyways, the top seeds in the Midwest region are North Carolina, Kentucky, Houston, and Kansas. Kansas is the 4 seed, which is very interesting. It shows you how little significance the committee put on these conference title games. Because coming into the bracket, I thought, oh yeah, Kansas is probably going to be a 4 or 5 seed. But then you look, and Iowa State just demolished them in the championship game. And
the
Iowa
Cyclones?
Yeah. Coming into the tournament, I thought Iowa State was going to be a 5 seed, and they won the entire Big 12, and they ended up as a 6 seed. So it shows you that they didn't even think about the conference championships when picking these seeds.
I would give some input, but I will be honest, I did check out when you were talking there, so I didn't really listen to what you said. But in my opinion with the Midwest, I'm looking at Wofford. Wofford's fun. Wofford's fun. What's the deal with Wofford? A little small school out of South Carolina?
Yeah, I think they're in
based in South Carolina.
They're one of the Carolinas.
Yeah.
Not sure.
That's a fun little pick. Good for them getting a 7 seed. Why not? Let's cheer for them to go pretty far. Why not, you know?
Well, they're playing against Seton Hall in the first round, and Seton Hall is one of the few teams that have beaten Kentucky this year.
Don't they have a fun mascot? Aren't they like the Friars or something?
The Seton Hall's the Pirates, I think. The Providence is the Friars. I think that's what you're thinking of.
I don't know what I'm thinking of.
But anyways, this is a tough conference, or a tough region, and I could definitely see any of the top 6 seeds winning the region.
What's interesting to me is Joe Flacco got benched for a running back, basically, and now he's the starting quarterback in Denver. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think he's still got some gas left in the tank. He's definitely an upgrade over Case Keenum.
Here's another question. Did he ever have gas in the tank?
I think he did. That he led him to that Super Bowl. Actually, he didn't lead him.
He led them.
That defense led him. That defense was incredible. But he did what he needed to.
He was on the field. He was definitely on the field at one point in the Super Bowl.
He did what he needed to do to beat Kaepernick in that Super Bowl.
Fun game, I bet.
Yeah, talking about defensive teams led, quarterbacks led by defensive teams, also that 49ers team.
And Tom Brady, Patriots every year.
Yeah.
Honestly.
That defense is incredible in New England. But anyways.
What about Peanut Tillman? Peanut Tillman was my favorite player, maybe of all time. I love watching Peanut Tillman play football.
Always forcing fumbles.
It's insane.
So let's move on to the East region.
Duke is in the East. Located in the East. Makes sense to me.
Just like our rivals over at ESPN, we're going to talk about Zion some more.
We're at the 13:50 mark of the show. We have 10 seconds to talk about Zion, and then we're done. Go. 6, 5.
Zion's all right.
4.
I'd rather have RJ Barrett to
2,
avoid the distraction.
1. I'd rather have Cam Reddish. That's it. We're done. All right, Cam Reddish is the best player on that team. I'm glad we all have decided and agreed on that statement. Let's talk about the rest of it.
Virginia Tech's a little interesting because they've already beaten Duke this year, and they're going to meet possibly in the Sweet 16. So that'll be an interesting matchup.
I think Mississippi State is maybe like a 14 seed. And lucky for them, they're playing a 12 seed in the first round. So it'll be a close matchup with the 5-12 because it's going to be more like a 12-14 matchup, which is just two pretty good teams playing each other. So I'm interested to see what happens in that game, see how far Mississippi State goes.
We got a little interesting play-in game this year with Belmont and Temple.
Belmont's very interesting.
Yeah, the committee decided to reward the mid-major there and give Belmont a seat in the tournament, which was very interesting.
In my opinion, Belmont should have just won their conference championship and made it much easier.
That would have made it much easier, but they had to sweat it out, and they got rewarded on Championship Sunday.
Well, let's talk about this for just 1 second. Joe Lunardi. What a joke.
Yeah, I agree. Joe Lunardi is a joke. Because how could you put Michigan State above Tennessee before the conference championships have even been played, and Michigan State has lost twice to Indiana and once to Illinois?
Well, Indiana traditionally is a great program.
Yes.
Tom Crean era. Yeah. Tom Crean era. They almost went 500 in 8 years combined.
Recently, Indiana has been an awful school to play basketball at. Secondly, Tennessee's worst loss is to Kansas this year. Kansas is a 4 seed.
What about Larry Bird?
Larry Bird at Indiana State was a legend.
Yeah.
Talk about a tournament run. That was a run.
Right? I don't know what they did in the tournament, to be honest. I don't know much about history.
I'm pretty sure they played Michigan State in the championship game.
And oh, who won?
I think Magic Johnson won. I think Michigan State won that one. But I'll have to look that one up.
Interesting. Michigan State beat Larry Bird. So I'm going to have to say, in that region, pick Michigan State guaranteed to win that region because Michigan State beat Larry Bird in the Indiana State basketball program back whenever that game happened.
Yep, Michigan State won.
75-64. What's fun about basketball is the scores have stayed pretty consistent throughout the ages. You can have in my opinion, a game could end 75-64 in this tournament, and I would not think twice about it. That's a reasonable score for a basketball game.
Yeah, definitely.
Derek's not in the mic, but he said, yeah, definitely, if you couldn't hear that. All right, he's still looking at stats from 1979. I hope we can move on from that pretty soon. South region, everyone agrees that Michigan State will make it to the Final Four. Easy, no problem. Duke, trash.
Don't even have to worry about Duke.
Don't even worry about Duke.
They're just an awful team. I don't think they're going
to... Duke lost to Syracuse.
Yeah, that was a bad loss.
And Syracuse is an 8 seed.
So we're going to move on to the South region, which is a pretty reasonably tough region, but there's a lot of interesting teams in this region. One of them is the Tennessee Volunteers.
I would agree with you. I haven't seen much of Tennessee play this season. I'm not super familiar with who's on the team or what and whatnot. But they are a 2 seed, and you have to respect a 2 seed because they probably made it there for a reason.
Of course. Some of the games I'm looking at early on is the 12-5 with Wisconsin and Oregon. It's going to be an interesting game because Oregon's pretty hot right now. They just won the Pac-12 conference,
which is a huge accomplishment. Let it be known that on the Back and Quarterback Show, we think winning the Pac-12 basketball tournament is a huge accomplishment.
The conference of champions.
Bill Walton, did he play basketball somewhere?
He did.
He was pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's one of the only players ever to win 3 straight Player of the Year awards in college basketball.
He played in the pros too. Was he pretty good in the pros?
Yes, he played in the pros, and he's quite good there too.
Good for Bill Walton.
Yeah. Now he calls about every Pac-12 game possible.
Yeah, he
talks about anything but Pac-12 basketball.
He does say the Conference of Champions a lot.
Yes, he does name drop that. But anyways,
And let's just make it clear right now. If UCLA wasn't around in like the 50s and 60s or whenever they were good, they would not be able to call themselves the Conference of Champions. Just period. They haven't done anything in 30 years. And it may be 30 years before they're relevant again. Arizona coach, he also paid for that player last year.
DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah. And he should get in trouble, right? You would think he would get in trouble. I hear he's on the same wiretap as Will Wade, head coach of the Louisiana State. Is that what they call themselves? Louisiana State University. The Tigers. They both have been caught by the FBI on wiretaps. You got to think that's not a good look for them or their programs.
Not a good look,
definitely. That's just my opinion, though.
But anyways, in the South region, an interesting team to look out for is the defending national champions.
North Carolina.
Villanova.
Oh.
They're a 6 seed, which is a little bit lower than what I thought they'd be. But I think they're gonna make some noise. But you can't knock out this Virginia team after losing to a 16 last year. They want a little redemption.
Who's their 16? Gardner Webb this year? Don't count out Gardner Webb. Gardner Webb has had a hot season this year. Gardner Webb, just off the top of my mind, I know for a fact they're 23-11. They're 5-0 in their last 5 games. They are 0-1 against the top 25.
But Virginia's 4-1 in the last 5.
That's an important thing to remember. Virginia is only 4-1 in the last 5 games. That might make me think, oh, maybe Gardner-Webb, the Bulldogs, have a chance here.
Look at this. Gardner-Webb scores 7 more points per game than Virginia.
That means they are going to win the game because more points equals more wins.
Exactly.
Nothing like 5 good seconds of dead air. That's a good time to shout out our sponsors.
City of Gainesville.
City of Gainesville and oxygen. Oxygen. The stuff in the air that we breathe. O2 sponsored us. Gave us $10,000 to shout out oxygen. Oxygen's free. Go get yourself some oxygen today. City of Gainesville. Florida's going to go somewhere in this tournament.
They could lose the first round. They could go to the Elite Eight. You just don't know with Florida.
In my opinion, any team can lose on any given game.
That's correct. It's more common in basketball than any other sport.
Well, I think one team is going to lose every single game. At least one team will lose in every matchup, which is crazy to think about. And then statistically, that should leave one team at the very end.
You got to win 6 to win it all. That's
or 7 if you're one of the play-in teams.
Yes.
The Tennessee Volunteers were a play-in team 1 year, and they made it to the Sweet 16.
Yes, we were. That was a great year, despite horrible coaching by Konzo Martin.
I would agree with you. Konzo Martin and the Missouri Tigers did not make the tournament this year.
They did not.
What this tournament's missing?
What is it?
One team that is a staple.
Connecticut.
No, but Kevin Ollie was 7-0 in tournaments at one point in his career with the UConn Huskies. No, Wichita State.
Oh, Wichita State, that's a good one,
is
Matt.
Not in the tournament. Wait, didn't Northern Iowa win their bracket?
No, I don't think they made it to the. I think they made it to the conference championship, but they didn't win.
That's too bad. That's another staple.
That's another
team
staple
that you're like looking forward to. But they're not as much of a staple as Wichita State. Ron Baker did not play there for 12 seasons for them to just start losing
also,
the second he leaves.
Where is Xavier this year?
Where is Xavier this year? That's crazy. That's crazy. Where is Xavier this year? Xavier was a one seed. Are they not in the tournament? They were a deserving one seed last year.
Yeah,
Xavier's a deserving one seed. They're not in the tournament this year. Yeah. That's crazy. Xavier didn't make the tournament? I can't believe that. Yeah, I can't believe
it. I don't know why that's not getting more media coverage from our counterparts over at ESPN.
ESPN has been too busy talking about Zion Williamson, whatever he's doing with his shoes or what he's wearing, whatever, dunking on fast breaks. Yeah, here's a little spoiler alert, ESPN. Any college basketball player can dunk on a fast break. But yeah, let's just show that over and over and over and over and over and over. Am I getting annoying? I'm like ESPN right now. Annoying.
Yeah, they didn't show that dunk Admiral Schofield threw down over that the Mississippi State
guy. They're talking more about Zion Williams' shoes than they're talking about the dunk of the year, most likely. Besides that one Jordan Bowden had against Vanderbilt, which I don't think got enough attention. I think it was like only 3 on top 10 that night.
Yeah.
Which was absurd because it was probably the best dunk I've ever seen in my entire life. But I'm not gonna harp on it if they say Admiral's is the dunk of the year because Admiral's dunk was also good. Give Admiral dunk of the year. I don't care. Just stop talking about Zion. I like Zion. I think Zion's a good basketball player. That's the crazy thing. Everyone knows Zion's a good basketball player. But ESPN has just made him so just unlikable, which is just ridiculous.
I definitely agree, Matt. I think that's a great analysis of Zion Williamson.
What's that guy? Buddy Hield? Remember Buddy Hield was so fun. He was so fun to watch. And then every time Buddy Hield had a layup, had a little three-pointer from 50 feet away, it was, oh, Buddy Hield is the best thing that ever happened in basketball. Here's a little spoiler. Buddy Hield is nothing now.
Buddy Hield's a marginal player in the NBA right now. And
if marginal, honestly. Buddy Hield is fine. Buddy Hield's fine. Look at that. Look how fired up ESPN made me about Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield is, I'm sure he's a great guy. I think Zion's probably a nice, Zion seems honestly really nice. Like, Zion does not seem like an awful guy to be around.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't want to see Zion anymore. I just don't want to see Zion anymore. That's like, ESPN and Zion are like, they're like that couple that you just don't, like, they're just, like, always together, and they're always just, like, being super, like, obnoxious, and, like, there's like, oh, we love each other so much. Like, we don't want to see that all the time. We don't want to see that all the time, ESPN. Show us something new. Show us something fresh. Show us something that will enlighten us and make us feel good about the state of this nation. Zion is not the answer to everything.
I agree, Matt. That's some great insight. And I think what ESPN needs to do is, you know, just learn from us and give fresh takes and insightful information that can lead to positive discussion about sports.
Look how happy we are right now. We are light. We are a source of light, a beacon of light, because we don't just talk about Zion Williamson all the time. That being said, I know we've talked about Zion for the last 3 minutes of this podcast, and the podcast is only like at most 30 minutes, which makes us 10% of the podcast we've been talking about Zion Williamson, but that's not our fault.
That's still like 80% less than
that's
ESPN talks.
That's still 80% less. Honestly, that's even a stretch. If can you imagine if LeBron was having a great year this year? Oh my gosh, we would not see anything else. We would not see a single spring training baseball highlight. We'd just be talking about LeBron and Zion and I don't know, maybe Steph Curry every now and then shooting a three from the tunnel. Like get a new story, ESPN. Once we see Steph shoot a three-pointer from the corner once, we've seen him shoot it 100 times. It's the same thing, little spoiler, it's the same thing every single night. He does the same thing. It's not for us. And this is not on Steph Curry. This is not on Steph Curry, which is weird because I don't like Steph Curry all that much. But this is not on Steph Curry. This is on ESPN shoving it down our throat, stuff we just don't care about. Steph Curry, the reason he does that, he does not do that for like people on Twitter to be like, oh wow, Steph Curry, what a fun video, Steph Curry shooting a long shot. Cool. He does that for the fans. He goes in the tunnel right around the fans and starts shooting threes. And the fans of the game are like, oh, that's so awesome. Steph Curry is shooting from where we're at. Isn't that, that's amazing. That's cool to watch. And then he makes it and they're like, oh, that's so fun. Yeah, Steph Curry. If I was standing right next to Steph Curry when he makes that shot, man, I'd be like, oh, that's awesome, Steph. Way to go. And he runs in the tunnel. It's like, oh, fun stuff, Steph. I look at that on ESPN and I go, who cares? Just who cares? This is ridiculous. But that being said, I think Duke has a really good chance of winning the national championship this
year. Yeah, they're definitely the favorites. And I think this Duke team is one of the best we've seen in a long time. Definitely Zion Williamson coming back in the ACC tournament is going to help them get that chemistry back to where it's been with all four of their great players on their team.
And Jack White.
Jack White being the, yeah, I'd probably put Jack White as the fifth or sixth. But anyways, Duke, definitely the odds-on favorite to win it this year. Would it be surprised if they got knocked out in the second round as Duke Tilt. Is it called Duke Tilt, I think?
I don't know what we're talking about, honestly.
Well, there's this thing that goes on. When people pick Duke, it seems like the year they are supposed to win, and then they lose early, and the year people don't pick Duke to win the tournament, Duke ends up winning. And they're like, oh, why didn't I pick Duke this year? But we'll see what happens with the Duke Blue Devils.
I think the key to the bracket is just knowing that we're going to see what happens.
Yes, that's astute observation, Matt.
We're going to see what happens, and that's exciting. So, yeah, any other thing you want to bring up on this podcast about March Madness, bracketology, any advice you want to give?
When making your bracket, go with your gut, go with your first instinct, because that's usually the right answer.
Follow your heart.
Follow your heart.
Follow your heart. That's beautiful. I think on that note, we're going to wrap up, and we're gonna end this podcast. Thanks for coming out. Shout out to our sponsors, Oxygen, City of Gainesville. Thank you for paying us money, and we'll be sure to use it wisely. That's our last piece of advice. Use your money wisely. That's important. People need to remember that. With that being said, my name is Matt Howard.
My name is Derek Anderson.
And I'm Matt Howard. Good night.